I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. We check in now with my neighbor and old friend Michael Klassen. He is the co-editor of citycaucus.com, which has just celebrated its first anniversary. And what a year it's been in politics locally and for the site. Citycaucus.com is a strident observer of politics in Vancouver and municipal issues across the country. They've been watching the government here in Vancouver, and it's been great coverage. They get branded right-wing or NPA, but I see whatever their past affiliations as more context and partisanship. They're simply a great read. Mike Klassen's other website is michaelklassen.com. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Mike Klassen. Good morning, Mr. Klassen.
Hello, Joe.
Thanks for joining me.
I love that introduction. I wish I had to write that down somewhere.
Well, it'll be posted on the site. You'll see it there.
Great.
This is a one-year anniversary bash. Was Wednesday night?
Yes, that was last night.
Yeah, you got a good turnout, I understand.
Yeah, we did. We actually had a pretty good turnout. A number of people kind of came through in waves, notably, you know, kind of a... We did say that it was going to be a nonpartisan. We felt that it would be probably more NPAers with nothing better to do with their time these days. But we, you know, Jim Green came by, and some friends of mine who are sort of Cope devotees, and then we had Marguerite Ford came as well, the former city councillor from back in the day, and one of the eminent degrees of Vancouver politics now, although she probably doesn't like that. She had just come from the May Brown Party, who unfortunately had her 90th birthday party at the exact same time, and I expected a lot of, we had people coming back and forth.
Yeah. I read on Twitter that you and Daniel Fontaine, the co-editor of citycaucus.com, you went to City Hall afterwards?
Yeah, gluttons for punishment. You know, maybe in hindsight it wasn't such a great idea, but we knew that the budget hearings, day two or evening two of the budget hearings, were going on right across the street. We said, gosh, let's go see what's going on, and maybe we'll cheer them up with our presence. It was, as you can imagine, the evening was getting very late. Apparently they stayed till 11:30 last night. I mean, those are tough council meetings to be at, because you have to listen to people and they're not happy with you. They don't want you to cut their services and their programs, it's a tough time to be a city councilor when you've gotten on as much money.
And is that what you're hearing, that it's all with regards to what to cut and what not to cut from the citizens that attend these things?
Almost universally, the message coming out from the public consultations is that they don't want cuts, but it's what you would imagine. The people who are fine with the cuts aren't going to come to the meetings, or they're less motivated, let's say. So you can imagine there's quite a few people that are showing up at the meetings, and they are worried about programs that they covet are being taken away.
And the decision that the council has to make is a tough one, obviously. How do you see it coming about? I mean, do you get a sense of that when you're at a hearing, where they're going or what their priorities are, or does that come later on when the decisions are made?
Next week is the time that they all make the decision, and that meeting is probably going to be the most interesting of all, because, of course, you're going to hear the rationale that council is putting forward. This council has really sold themselves, I think, as a council that would try and do things different than the NPA. And that meant perhaps being more imaginative with tax increases than sticking to a 2%, which actually translates for residences into a 4%, but sticking to a 2% tax increase. This is a new, really a new tack by Vision Vancouver. And the people that came out and voted and supported for Vision Vancouver, they're people who are more comfortable with taxes, and they love services, so they're not happy with this group right now.
And do you find that there are a lot of people attending?
Oh, yes. I mean, the first night there had to be, 150 to 200 people. The waiting list was 88 people. I don't think anybody, on the first night, I think it's over 100 now. I don't think anybody imagines that the that the meetings would take anything less than 3 nights. They typically council shuts down at 10 p.m. They were there till almost midnight last night, so they're hearing from a lot of the public, and I believe they have another 50 speakers to go.
Have tempers been flaring at all?
The meetings have actually been, I think, surprisingly respectful. The members of the public that have got up there have been firm. They've been vocal. They have at times been loud. But nobody has been disrespectful, and that's a very good sign. We're having, I think, a good, healthy discussion, albeit a very one-sided discussion right now, which is we want to keep the things that we have, and we don't want any change to that. So I think that the meetings themselves have been quite respectful.
Is it too early to think about the next campaign? I'm just wondering, are you seeing some positioning, whether it's the mayor or other candidates, towards the next election campaign?
Well, any government is always thinking about the next election.
Yeah.
And so, of course, and you know, Vision Vancouver, I'll quote him because he said this, and it's the first time I'd actually had anybody articulate it. Jonathan Ross, who is a supporter of Vision Vancouver and dutifully, you know, kind of tells their side of the story on his blog, at our Geller event that took place back in November, stated that Vision Vancouver don't have a traditional constituency, whereas COPE and NPA have a long-established constituency. So that's why I think Vision are spending a bit more time devoting themselves to, and we've said this before in City Caucus, populist politics. So they're spending more time trying, you know, working hard not to annoy the voter, and trying to be all things to all people. And anybody that knows politics knows that's a very difficult tightwire to walk for an entire term in government. Nobody can really, you know, govern successfully without making some bold decisions. So we're seeing, you know, Vision trying very hard to be the party that everybody loves, partly because they may not have a traditional base of support.
Some of these bold decisions, let's look back at them. I mean, the two that I remember the most, and this is from someone who doesn't follow municipal politics as closely as you guys do, you know, chicken coops in backyards and, you know, a garden at City Hall.
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that people have really stuck with people on this council, and I'm sure that they kind of regret putting those things out the way they did. I don't think that there has been a similar, if you look back at the last two councils, I think the Larry Campbell's council got tagged with the flying saucer metaphor by the NPA because they were trying to conduct anti-Star Wars legislation or something in city council, which is completely inappropriate for a city council. Sam Sullivan's council got labeled in different ways, but mainly it was about Sam and trust issues around Sam, and that was, you know, and we'll have good evidence for that on City Caucus and more good evidence for it in the months ahead. But that was really a deliberate attempt to smear Sam's reputation, and I'm speaking as somebody who has Sam Sullivan as a friend, and so I know the story because I work closely with the staff in the mayor's office. But I think in this, with the Vision Council, they've kind of been stuck with the garden and the chickens stuff. And it's probably because the other items they have proven to be very airy-fairy. It may be very hard for them to grapple with it, but their work on the homeless file has been heavily reliant upon the provincial government support. And their work on the green file is so far off into the future in terms of delivering results that it's almost imaginary. So I think that they've got a lot of work to do in their second year of their term to try and put some meat on the bones.
The last time you were on in October, we talked about the viability of the NPA and what shape they are in. What have you seen?
There are still, actually, there have been a few good signs for the NPA. We haven't talked about them because, you know, they're more kind of heart murmurs than any kind of racing pulse yet. They're really getting their organization together. They've got some good people in there. They still have a couple of holes to fill, but they've brought on two or three quite exceptional people under their board. I actually think that they will, the people that they have on the board now, Simon Jackson, for example, from the Rainforest Great Bear Rainforest Network. He is an incredible youth organizer, very smart guy, very well connected. I expect to see great things from Simon. John Moonen has been recently appointed to the board. John is an incredibly well-respected lobbyist and political guy. He's, you know, you see John at all sorts of events, and I've just got a lot of time for John, and I don't know anybody who doesn't think he's just great. So, and Michael Davis decided to step back into the shoes as the president after having some initial reticence about it and talking about leaving, but he was persuaded to come back. Michael's a very, very smart and competent guy. So, you know, when you have that kind of raw material, only good things can happen. But they still have a lot of work to do in terms of showing that they are still alive and that they can attract good people and good candidates to them.
You've written on citycaucus.com about some of the people that Vision has brought on to work at City Hall, sort of the bureaucrats, if you will.
Yes.
This guy, how do you pronounce his name? Sadu Johnson?
Yeah, Sadu. Yeah,
Sadu Johnson.
Yeah.
He came from Chicago, right?
Yes.
And there's a story on the website today about some other people that apparently are outside of, coming from outside of Vancouver.
Yeah.
Does it matter where they're from?
Well, Vancouver is a cosmopolitan mix of people from all over the place. So the short answer to your question is no. But when you're running a city operation, let's say there when you have a civil service the size that Vancouver does, and it is a an organization that is praised around the world. I mean, we just got the Economist Top 100 City, Most Livable City again. That's not an accident. That's because of how we're governed and how our civil service works. So you have to ask yourself, isn't there somebody in the current ranks that maybe might step into the shoes and fill some of these positions as they come up? Can you imagine the kind of respect that might generate within the civil service if you did raise people up based upon their merits? And they're not doing that. And I think it's deliberate. They are concerned about any taint of trustworthiness, I guess you can sort of, I didn't put that very well, but as you can imagine, if you're always hiring from the outside, it suggests that you don't trust the people that are there right now. And they may argue against that, but the appearances are not good. So that said, I've met Sadu. Sadu's I think, an incredibly competent and bright guy. I think Vancouver is probably better having him here. He was put into a position as deputy city manager, which is a real new type of role for him. His background is largely in sustainability work, and the deputy city manager is known for being a real deal maker, the person that has to make the tough decisions dealing with staff and developers. And Sadu has, I think, probably a few things to learn to be able to be a good deputy city manager.
Back to the anniversary for just a sec. You and Daniel must be heartened by the response from your readers.
Oh, absolutely. We wouldn't be doing what we do without, you know, tracking some traffic on the site and having people come and talk to us. And, you know, you get into a little bit of a bubble because, you know, we have jobs and we do this off the side of our desk and devote way more time to it than we ever thought we would. Our wives are the ones that suffer through us creeping away and grabbing our laptops and doing posts before bedtime and things like that. It's, you know, it's a real... you know, time intensive activity. And if we didn't get response from people, you know, just walking down the street and running into friends and colleagues and saying, oh, I read about you, or my friend sent me a link, and gosh, I tell you, that just really puts more wind in your sails every time you hear that.
You were at the NDP convention recently?
I did. I decided to pop in, and I'll give you that I was only there for a couple of hours. It was running for about 2.5 days. I went late on a Saturday afternoon after the policy sessions, breakout sessions, were concluding, and they ended up having a discussion about policy. And having been to BC Liberal conventions in the past, I know that those policy conventions tend to be very interesting because they bring out, you know, they bring out the rank and file, and you get some really wild ideas. So I wanted to see what kind of wild ideas were being put forward. And the commentary that I actually, most of it was quite boring, but when they began to talk about carbon taxes and consumption taxes for energy and road taxes and just talking about sustainability as a topic, that's when the room got really split. And I wouldn't say that it was a 50-50 split. I would say that the minority of people currently in the membership are inclined to, you know, buy into, say, the carbon tax that the Premier Campbell enacted last year in the BC Liberal government. So there was a lot of people standing up against it, and as a result, the motion on an energy consumption tax idea, it was actually the group that proposed it said, we want to have a discussion about this, not that we want to bind the party to some kind of policy. We want to have a discussion. Well, people who spoke against it won the day, and as a result, the discussion about having a discussion was put on referral, which essentially says it's dead for now. And I read Andrew McLeod from the TIE, who was sitting behind me, and Sean Holman, who did excellent coverage that weekend. And the both of them came to the same conclusion that that was the real story out of that convention. The NDP, because they are still trying to figure out what their relationship with big labor is, are really hamstrung when it comes to wanting to figure out a good policy around sustainability. Cap and trade ain't going to cut it. It's only one small tool that British Columbia can lead the way, and that's why carbon consumption taxes are the most bold and the right thing to do, and this government put it in, and as we all know, the NDP campaigned against it. And there were many people who got up to speak and said, we would have won had we not campaigned against that. And, you know, that's debatable. But so there is a real split in the ranks right now on the subject of sustainability.
Are you jacked up about the Olympics?
Jacked up wasn't exactly the term. But you know what? I think I'm getting more excited about it. My family is starting to think about it a bit more. We've got there was a funny story on the TV last night about how we should keep our Christmas lights on during the games.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, yeah, well, we like to, you know, once January 1st hits, I'm up on the ladder taking them all down, making sure that we get everything packed away. But, you know, I might leave a couple of strings out there if they think that that's a way of showing community spirit, and my neighbors do it, I just might do it as well, just for a laugh, because it, you know, these little LED lights don't cost you anything to run anyway. So
you're good to do this today, Mike. I appreciate it, and the kind things you said or you wrote about me on your site. Best of the season, and happy Christmas to you and your family.
Absolutely, same to you, Joseph. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Thank you. CityCaucus.com and MichaelClassen.com. Michael Klassen on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.